Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, December 29th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, and it truly is a getaway Friday morning, our last broadcast day of 2023. We will not be live in studio on Monday, but will return on Tuesday in 2024, and then you will get to hear me for the first month of 2024 mispronounce the date as 2023 for at least a month until I get on the right calendar year. There is a lot of news going on today. We are going to be live this morning from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. Pastor Craig will be along this morning, and right now we don't know who else. Matt Morgan's in the studio with us, and tonight we'll be doing our last live broadcast of the year, the Friday Night Live show, from 8:15 until 10 p.m. Carrington Nelson, Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, and myself. But before we get, you don't want to tune away because we've got a news story. Matt is tearing up the studio this morning. He's having a morning here already. We have a big guest to open up the program, and that's how you want to open up the last big broadcast of the year. But we have got a news story here that you are not going to want to leave your set for, and we're going to get to that after we speak to our first guest, because this is a big news story. It is bowl game time. It is Cotton Bowl game time, 8 p.m. tonight. The Ohio State Buckeyes will face the Missouri Tigers. What a game it's going to be, and a man who's going to be there is a man who's on the phone with us right now, always been a good friend to this station, one of my dear, dear friends, and just a good guy. What can you say? Just a good guy. He is the Superfan Superfan. He is in the ESPN Superfan Hall of Fame. What a pleasure it is, as it always has been, to welcome to these microphones, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, how are you?
Scott Spears, Happy New Year's, man.
Yes, Happy New Year's, Buckeye Guy. What's going on? Where are you at right now?
I will tell you that we decided to stay in Columbus, Ohio, and donate all of the proceeds that would have went to the bowl trip to charity.
So not going to the bowl game.
So actually doing a lot more charity than we normally do.
Tremendous, tremendous. So where will you be watching the game tonight?
At the comfortable confines of my own home.
Now, when is the last time you did not go to a bowl game?
I'll tell you what my first bowl game was. It will actually excite me even more. It was 2002, and Jim Trussell had took the Ohio State University to the national championship in Tempe, Arizona. It was outstanding.
And you have not missed many of these bowl games.
No.
I think it's great this year that you're doing it for charity, but was there any particular reason that you decided not to make this trip?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I mean, the charity thing on the scale is superseding everything now, because there's a need out there. Toys for Tots, Salvation Army, the Firefighters for Kids. There's a number of different places that we donate to and bring life to children that otherwise may not have had the opportunity to have these prizes.
How was your Christmas?
Outstanding, man. I tell you, I was very, very satisfied in all that we've done for the charity piece. And I keep going back to that, Scott, because it's taken a big major role in my life.
You know, that's interesting. What has caused that? You've always been involved in charity when I see you around. What has caused this upswing, uptick?
Hey, listen. I'm getting a lot older, and I can see clearly now that the rain has gone.
So, but you will still be making the trips to the regular Ohio State games during the season.
Yes, we're certainly trying to get this schedule worked out with the four new teams coming in: UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington. I've been to Washington. I've been to USC. I have yet to go to Oregon, which was supposed to happen in 2020, but it got pushed back due to the pandemic. And I have never been to UCLA. So those are things that I'm going to put in front of the normal Big Ten games, because I've been to every Big Ten stadium as of now.
You know, Buckeye Guy, with the charity taking the forefront, as you can see things clearly now, and getting a little older, as we all do with the passing years, do you see a time where maybe it will just be home games, or maybe it will be retirement from a great career as an Ohio State superfan altogether?
You know what, man? Home games are looking more and more prevalent nowadays. 20, 25 minutes down, park the car, go in, watch the game. 12 noon game, you're home by 4 o'clock. Are you kidding me? That's got to be appealing for any fan, let alone the Ohio State super fan, ESPN Fan Hall of Famer. That's always appealing. A 12 noon game is my best game.
Now, does any of the recent record of Ohio State figure into this? Because the bowl games, although they are important, are not as big as bowl games have been in the past.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. What a heck of a record. We went to the game up north when we last talked, 11-0. That's one heck of a season. Most coaches would be up for a raise. Our coach here in Columbus, Ohio, you know, lost his final game last month and is 11-1. And we're going to the Cotton Bowl. So that's got to be a good thing.
Oh, it's certainly a good thing. I just think one thing that has happened over the years, and I think Coach Tressel said that, I think John Cooper came to realize this, that beating Michigan is a very important thing, and Ohio State has had undefeated records several times over the years and has went to bowl games that have more significance than the Cotton Bowl. So, yeah. So it's a little, I think for a lot of people, it's a little... You know what? I'll tell you where I noticed this. I always know when the Ohio State game's going to be played, and honestly, this morning, I'm not seeing a whole lot of chatter about this on social media. I'm not seeing the news with the game tonight that you normally see.
Nope. The fanfare is certainly dimmed after losing 3 straight, and you like to refer to it as the turkey? Man, to that school up north. And I'll tell you, we are trying to rectify that as soon as possible.
Now, Buckeye Guy, I was looking this morning, and I believe this came from USA Today. No, wait, excuse me, it's ESPN. Has set the odds out for the game tonight. They heavily favor Ohio State, giving them a 75.6% chance of winning. The same model gives Missouri a 24.4 chance. How good is Missouri, and does this model look right to you? 3-1.
It's the strangest thing. We've been watching Missouri from afar since they have announced the game matchup, and only losing 2 games, they look like a pretty good team. So this is their Super Bowl, Scott Spears. They would like nothing better than to come in and not only play well against the Ohio State University, but even to knock them off on a December 29th game in the Cotton Bowl. would be their dream.
You know, the interesting thing, when I saw the odds this morning for this game, because Missouri is 10-2, what shocked me about that was that if Ohio State should lose tonight, because of the odds, I think people will make a much bigger deal about it, and I can't believe the odds for this game are that out of whack.
You know what? I agree. Now, here it is, Scott. This is what I took into account. With the new bowl alignment and the college football playoff going to 12 teams next year, we won't have a worry about being on the outside looking in, having only lost one game. So we'll see exactly how that works out. It works pretty good for the NC2A men's basketball tournament with 64 teams. 12 teams will probably be sufficient. I think it's going to be a great move. Don't know how we're going to be able to make all of those games because we'll already have been to 17 games regular season. It's like a pro schedule, so you probably want to be very picky in which games you go to. I'm going to lean toward the games here in Ohio Stadium at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Now, Buckeye guy, and again, we all want to be optimistic, but coming off the loss to Michigan, and last year we did have a similar situation in which Ohio State lost to Michigan and then in a heartbreaker on New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight lost their bowl game. If they should not win this bowl game tomorrow, how does this hurt them as they go further after the turkey of losses to Michigan at this point?
I'll tell you, that last game, let's talk about that. We were in the college football playoff. We were playing for a national championship, and we were playing against the eventual winner in the Georgia Bulldogs. We were nip and tuck in that game. It came to a missed field goal. We came home, and we still had good feelings because we played toe-to-toe with the eventual national champion. I'll tell you, though, it won't be a good thing coming off. I think the fan base didn't mind if you're going to lose to the guys that are going to go ahead and win everything. You certainly do not want to lose to Mizzou.
So is tonight a must win for Ryan Day and his team?
We talked about must wins on the way to Ann Arbor last month, and I said I didn't care if they had our plays, our plans, our playbook in our huddle on the bus. It was a must win. And I was surrounded by 110,000 screaming fans at the end of that game. And we came up short on that one. We did have the ball in the last seconds trying to go down for the victory and fell short. Here it is. You've got to beat Mizzou. You've got to beat them. There's no two ways about it, Scott Spears. No ifs, ands, or buts. You've got to beat Missouri.
Now, as you said, Buckeye guy, in heading into Michigan, two losses, didn't want to lose a third time. You said it was a must win. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. They didn't win. Now, when you say it's a must win tonight, if they don't, what do you believe the consequences will be?
The sky is falling if we lose to Missouri tonight. The sky is falling. I mean, for this particular fan, you want to get it all together with regardless to who's playing, who's not going to play. That is of no consequence to the fan. The fan wants their team, The Ohio State University, to win this game and have a off season with a good taste in our mouth, waiting till April 14th or 15th on the spring game.
Even though he has a great record, can Ryan Day hang on if this game does not end up in the W column tonight?
Wow, that's a great question. I hadn't even thought about the prospect of losing this game, Scott. I'm going to be honest with you. That means that your journalism courses and journalism classes have all paid off for you, because you brought something to the conversation that wasn't even on the radar. Man, we cannot lose that game. I can't even think about the prospect of anything happening going forward but a win tonight against Missouri.
Got to be a win, even more important than the last Michigan game, because of the outcome of that Michigan game.
Oh, talk about heartbreaking. It was 2.5 hours getting off the parking lot. Because all the fans were, of course, I'm in the front row. I'm 99 rows down. So everybody's trying to rush down to go on the field. I'm trying to swim upstream like a salmon. Trying to get out of the big house. 2.5 hours later, man, I was in my car. Unbelievable.
Two final questions for you here, Buckeye Guy. We've talked about you not going to the bowl game tonight, and also the lessening of activities as time goes on. Has the Michigan score, even though Ryan outcomes the last 3 years, even though Ryan Day does have a tremendous record for wins with Ohio State, has that in any way impacted, as you just spoke, you were there, they did not win, took you a long time to get out of the parking lot. Has this impacted these three losses, your choices that you're making as far as going to the games?
Well, no. I certainly want to go to the game. I tell myself all the time, I love going to the game.
Not the bowl game, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh! Listen, man. I made that decision long before the season that we were going to do more charitable outwork and outlook this particular year. And I think it was well-spent money. I think it was well-spent time. Seeing the great smiles that we've seen, not only on the kids receiving gifts, but the parents, seeing that they had somebody that had their back. So, no, that doesn't affect me at all. But, man, we had such a great run for 20 years there, Scott.
Absolutely.
I mean, we beat them 16 out of 17 times in a row.
Without question. All right, what is the prediction, the official Buckeye Guy prediction for the big bowl game tonight?
I got to tell you, it's got to be 35 to 17. We got to put it on them pretty good here, man. We got to go down there and do exactly what we're doing. They're playing at Jerry's World, where the Dallas Cowboys play. Everybody's calling, Buckeye Guy, where are you at? I didn't make it because we went in another direction as far as the health, wealth of the children here in Columbus, Ohio.
And how is the charity going? Fill us in.
Oh, here it is. We were actually giving away free toys on the street corner. I mean, we pulled up to a sheet on West Broad Street and just come get them, folks. Here they are. We've got over an abundance of toys. If you need more, take more. We donated to rec centers, churches, organizations, individuals. It was way over the top, and I thank you for allowing me to even mention that over your airways.
Well, it's wonderful, because I know you do a lot with charity, and I think that's a very important aspect for all the people in the community of Columbus, Ohio, and beyond. And I do want to remind people, tonight is the big bowl game. It is the Cotton Bowl tonight, 8 p.m. The Ohio State Buckeyes will go head-to-head with the Missouri Tigers. And don't forget the official Buckeye Guy prediction, OSU 35, Missouri 17. Buckeye Guy, it's always a pleasure. Stay well. Enjoy the confines of your own home tonight. And maybe we'll talk next Tuesday when the game comes to a conclusion.
I want to thank you, Scott Spears, for all of the invitations. I want to really look forward to 2024, and I'd like to get down there more than I did this year. But let it be known that John Chubb, Buckeye guy, looks forward to talking to Scott Spears each and every time.
That is a ditto. Happy New Year, Buckeye guy.
Okay, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, well, there you go. The official OSU Buckeye Guy prediction for the Ohio State Buckeye game. OSU 35, Missouri 17. Love the Buckeye Guy. Always, he's been a good friend to me, and I appreciate all he does, and he does do a lot for charity in the Columbus, Ohio area, and I think that is absolutely fantastic. So nothing better than that. Good friends who will call in early on a Friday morning, and just a good guy all the way around. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Matt, let me get the right mic here. I think you're on too. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Doing. You sound a little low in voice there this morning.
I mean, you know, I'm not sure why that is.
You know, Linda came in yesterday, and I'm pretty sure she messed with my mic, because when I came on this morning, I think I came on loud. Like, my ears were ringing when I started talking into the microphone, and then I realized the volume was way up on the microphone.
Yeah, I think I realized.
I turned it down. Does it sound better now?
I think it sounds the same, but, I mean, I saw you messing with the board when the interview started, so, you know.
Well, I'm almost back down to total parity there. I think that's about as low as it goes. How does this sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, here we are. As long as they hear us both. Well, by the way, again, the big ball game tonight, but why would you want to do that? You want to listen to this station from 8:15 to 10 tonight. That's where it's really going to be at. And we'll give you updates on the bowl games as we go on here tonight on the station. Well, maybe. You know, there's nothing like a morning with mic problems. The last broadcast day of the year, and we're starting off with some kind of mic problem here. Linda, why did you mess with the microphones? Okay, there we go. I think we're good now. Okay, the official OSU Buckeye Guy prediction, 35-17, Ohio State. Now, all that, and, you know, there's a big note card on this board that says, do not mess with knobs. See, this is why. There it went again. Do not mess. Do you see this note over here, Matt? Do not mess with knobs.
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
That's why. There's a reason for that. But, in any event, there's a bigger news story going on than, and you're hearing it first here this morning, than the Ohio State Buckeye game. Now, we need to, context is king, so we've got to get some context on this, but I feel this is truly breaking news. If you want breaking news, this is truly breaking news at this particular point. I'm wondering if my mic's going to hold up during the breaking news. I feel it going in and out already. Okay, I think we've got it where it needs to be. Okay, here's the breaking news this morning, and it's on the local level. Mayor Scott Schertzer came in yesterday for his last interview to tell us all if he was going to veto the pay raises for the mayor, the law director, the auditor, city council, and the treasurer. You got to hear this interview, most of it, yesterday. Right, Matt?
Yeah.
What was your feeling on what went on yesterday?
Yesterday, I'm honestly surprised that he didn't... I guess I'm surprised he wasn't more inclined to veto it. I mean, when the city's got a cash flow problem and you're already having problems making payroll, I don't know that you should give people raises.
So you thought a veto was coming yesterday when he was on the show?
Yeah.
Now, before we get to the news of the morning, I do want to play just that clip from yesterday's show. It's about 5 minutes long, so if you didn't hear it yesterday, here's what happened with Mayor Schertzer live on the air yesterday morning. This probably would have happened around 9:30, 9:40 a.m. So here's the clip. Let's hear what Mayor Schertzer had to say in regard to the vetoes.
With learning just in the last month that there is a cash flow problem, investments being sold off to pay bills, an auditor resigning, all these things, what have you decided to do?
Look, as I've stated many times
2004. I think they all deserve a pay increase. I think they came down with the amendments. I do think the law director and the auditors are too high, but the amendments made in the mayor and the city council, there's a high possibility that I will sign these pieces of legislation.
All of the pay raises.
At this point in time, as we sit here right now at whatever time it is, on December the 28th, I think it is. I think so. Listen, the clock is ticking. Today is the 10th day, so I have to take action today. There's a question on whether the 10-day clock are business days or calendar days. Don't have a clear answer on that. If they're calendar days, I could pocket veto them and then they go into effect without my signature. There are also, the time clock is ticking because if they're not signed by midnight of January or December 31st, then they'll go into effect, but they won't go into effect in the next term. And so the new council members, auditor, treasurer, law director, and mayor wouldn't receive it in the following term. Now, keep in mind, in the one piece of legislation, it's the council president, the treasurer, and all nine members of city council. Council and council president are elected every 2 years. So if that's the case, theirs wouldn't go into effect on January 1st of 24. It would go into effect of January 1st of 26. And the same with the treasurer, because the treasurer is not elected at the same time as the mayor, the law director, and the auditor. That election for the city treasurer will not take place until 2025, which means that pay increase would go into effect January 1 of 26. So again, some strange issues going on here. It's important to understand everything and how this all is impactful.
Now, you have not signed it yet, but you believe you will at this point.
I believe I will, yes.
How did you come to this conclusion after everything we've talked about this morning?
Yeah, so in the long run, it's going to be up to the new council, the new law director, to determine whether it was done legal and proper. And in order for the legal and proper question to be answered, somebody's going to have to call that into question. That somebody it has to be somebody that is an elector of the city of Marion. So, for example, what I mean by that, if you live in the county, you cannot call that into question legally. You have to live in the city. You have to be a registered voter living in the city of Marion. You are an elector, and you can call that into question. Another council member can call the legalities, the nuances that we have discussed this morning so far, on whether it was legal and proper to do it that way, whether council rules were followed to the T. And if not, it'll be hashed out in the courts.
What would change your mind in the next 3 days if it were to change?
Wow, that's a great question. I will be honest with you, since I was on last, the number of people giving me their opinion on this has declined. After the vote was taken last Tuesday night, there were a lot of people that wanted to give me their opinion. And I would say probably better than 70% said that they just thought it was too much. They agreed that the positions deserve a pay increase, but they thought it was too much. Since then, we've gone through Christmas, maybe feeling people are having the Christmas spirit. This is the week that I normally kind of really slow down, whether I was getting sworn in on January 1st or not. Between Christmas and New Year, I'm not in the office. I'm not having as much contact with the constituents that I normally would. And that's another reason probably not to pass it around the holidays at the end of a fiscal year. Because if this were going on in, let's say, April, I'd be coming into more contact with constituents. constituents, taxpayers, and voters, and they would have an opportunity to give me their opinion. But I've seen a precipitous decline when it comes to people voicing their opinion since I was last on.
Well, and that was as of 10:15 yesterday morning. Now, as old Paul Harvey used to say, here is the rest of the story. At 3:30, as of 3:30 yesterday afternoon, here is what happened. I am exercising my right to veto the ordinance authorizing the pay rate increase for the office of mayor, law director, and auditor. The mayor is already realizing a pay rate increase effective January 1st, 2024 in the amount of $5,100 per year, and to increase that raise of 20% would be an exorbitant amount. The law director is already realizing a pay increase effective January 1st, 2024 in the amount of $2,500 per year, and to increase that raise of nearly 20% would be an exorbitant amount. The auditor has failed to perform their duty for the past 4 years, and the current auditor McGinnis and former auditor Landon, the city, because of them, is facing multiple fines, fees, and penalties directly due to the failure of the auditor to perform their duties. To reward that gross neglect of duty by a pay rate increase would be divisive to the citizens of Marion. The raise, the raise for city council and the treasurer, I believe he did sign, and we're not sure when that's going to happen yet, 2026. But to wrap it all up, the last line was, the raise would place in all these raises, mayor, auditor, and law director, would place an undue burden on the general fund for the city of Marion at a time when the city is in dire financial stress with a lack of, one, accountability from the current auditor McGinnis and former auditor Landon. So, that's the rest of the story. As of 3:30 yesterday, Mayor Schertzer vetoed the pay raises for the mayor, the auditor, and the law director fully yesterday afternoon. Now, what happened between 10 a.m. and 3:30 yesterday? I have no idea. I contacted the mayor, and he basically at this point said, no comment. Matt, what happened?
You know, I'm not too sure. I thought that after I listened to, because the clip you played, I did get to hear that. So, I did hear that. But so, like, once I heard that, he was like, you know, they deserve a raise, and this is less than what it was. And I was like, man, I don't know. I think it might go through. But now I think it's played out a little more closely to how I expected it to play out.
But what happened? We're not talking days here. We're talking he left here at 10:15 a.m. saying he was going to sign them.
And within
at 3:30, those vetoes were sent out to be delivered to the people who are now not going to get those pay raises. Bill Collins, Mark Russell, and whoever's taking over on the 5th.
You know, I don't know. I guess it's possible that after he left here, he had some more people express their discontent for the raises, but...
Well, that's confusing to me, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, but one of the reasons he said that he had decided to go ahead with these was because the feedback had went down since the raises were lowered, which really the only one that was lowered was the mayoral raise. I don't think the law director and the auditor's raise went down. But he said that's one thing that was helping him make his decision. I don't know how many people he could have run into between 10:15 and 3:30 that afternoon, because obviously it was released at 3:30. The paperwork probably had to be drawn up a little bit before that. So there was a very short amount of time from the end of that interview until he vetoed them. Or decided to veto them. And again, his stance right now is he did his last interview yesterday and no comment, and I can understand that. I hope maybe he takes the option just to call in and answer that one question if he happens to be out there listening. But this is a complete about face in the course of about 5 hours.
You know, I don't know. That's interesting, though.
I wonder what happened. And I think that's the big question this morning. What in the world happened?
You know, I don't know, but the city's, I think it's better that it didn't pass than the fact that it would have.
So you like the fact that it got vetoed? Those three raises got. It looks as if he will sign into effect city council and the auditor or the treasurer's pay raises. Which again, there's some ambiguity on this because the paperwork says 2026. So I'm not even sure if those are happening first of the year. But he did use a very interesting word in there. He said the finances in Marion are dire. Now, I think people should pay attention to that.
I mean, like, the only reason I think that they don't deserve a raise is, well, not necessarily that they don't deserve one, but they shouldn't get one, I guess, is how I should have phrased it, is because, like, at the last city council meeting we went to, they had to liquidate some assets to meet payroll.
Well, by the way, does anybody have any thoughts on this? We didn't get to take any questions after the mayor's interview yesterday because it was in the last hour. And we don't really know how people felt about him not vetoing the raises, but now he has. So it's a completely different story this morning. And I believe we have this first. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I've never seen anything like that, honestly, in that amount of time. The mayor has vetoed a couple things in the past, not many in his 16 years, but from 10:15 a.m. until 3:30 in the same day to do that about face, something had to have happened. And I don't, because I can't believe he was being disingenuous here yesterday. What would have been the point of that?
I don't know. Maybe when he looked at the paperwork, he was just like, yeah, I don't know so much about this anymore.
I think he knew the paperwork coming in yesterday. Yeah, but those raises were passed on the 19th.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, yesterday was his, and he used a full veto. By the way, we talked about all the forms of veto. Line item veto, pocket veto, or to sign them, or just a straight out veto. My understanding is this is just a straight out veto. He vetoed them, and he told people why.
I mean, that's fair. I don't know how you could afford to give people raises when the current financial situation is being described as dire.
But did he not know that yesterday morning?
I assume
that's what I don't understand. You can do that's his power and that's his right, veto. But my confusion is what happens between 10:15 and 3:30?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because he's a very savvy man. And I would think he would not want to come on a radio show in the morning, knowing that was going to be the topic, and say, I most likely will do this. And then 5 hours later, do it. Because he could have said, I'm not sure. Yesterday morning. I'm not sure yet. That's not what he said.
Well, man, he wasn't necessarily certain that he was going to sign him in. He was like, well, as of now, I'd most likely sign him in.
Right, but he could have said, I don't know. I just haven't decided yet. When you say most likely I will, and in 5 hours you completely veto them, that's a little different.
I mean, you had to do it at some point.
He did have to do it, but I can't imagine nothing happened between making that statement around 10 a.m. and the veto itself at 3:30.
So what do you think happened?
I have no idea. I have no idea what might have happened there.
I don't know. That's interesting, though.
I don't think the city's pay rate, the situation in the city financially got any more dire in those 5 hours. I don't think that we learned any more about Auditor McGinnis or Auditor Landon in those 5 hours. I don't think that the pay raises changed in those 5 hours. So what did happen? That's why it's so peculiar. And he's on a no comment right now. Which, I mean, it's at the end of his term. This is all happening at the end of his term, which is also very weird. And that's not his fault. That's just the way it happened.
You know, you think you'll be able to get him on at some point?
I think at some point he'll be back on. I don't know when. But we did talk this morning. I'm not going to say we didn't talk. But his response was, yesterday was his last interview, and I asked him if he had a comment on this. And he said, not at this time. Because really, there's only one question here. There's really no interview. The question is, what happened yesterday? What happened between 10:15 and 3:30 in the afternoon?
I don't know. That's good, though.
You're not quite awake yet this morning, are you?
No, I woke up at like 7:30.
You're kind of laying in the chair over there.
I mean, I always lay in the chair, though.
You might not this low. You might need some coffee or something. I don't know. I just know that this is very, very confusing.
I mean, I think so. I don't understand what could have caused him to change his mind, but...
Now, here's another question. How do you think Bill Collins is taking this right now? The auditor, we don't know who that's going to be, so my guess is they're not taking it very hard because we don't know who the auditor's going to be in 5 days. The law director, maybe he's taking it hard, but I don't know. I mean, he really hasn't said much on these pay raises. We do know Bill Collins has had things to say about these pay raises.
I mean, I think he's probably unhappy. I do believe he had some words to say to Jason Schauber.
Right. And when I asked him months ago, his response was, do your homework, look at the towns around us. So I don't think he was against the pay raises. So to have him vetoed at the 11th hour with 3 days left in the year, I can imagine he's not a happy person. But I have invited Bill on today. Bill, let us know. You're the mayor in 3 days. This is going to be a big story. You know, I've never known a time where there is such a truckload of story coming in on a mayor. You've got the old mayor calling the city dire. It says the city's in dire financial straits, vetoing three pay raises, including the mayor's pay raise. You've got a new auditor that Bill Collins has to choose on January the 5th. You've got an auditor resigning on January the 5th, who Mayor Schertzer says helped put us in this dire situation. She's moving over to the transit department. You've got the budget that he has to do as soon as he comes in might be very difficult, considering the treasurer and the auditor's books don't match. There was question yesterday if the auditor is even still going into her office or has been there in the last few weeks. I mean, could it get any more difficult at this point?
I mean, everything could always get worse, but everything could always get better, too.
Well, I don't know how much worse it could get at this point. They're having trouble making payroll down there, was my understanding yesterday.
I mean, you ever heard of a ghost town? They exist. Worst comes to worst, like 20 years down the line, Marion's no longer a thing.
Well, I don't think we want that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. That's why I said worst comes to worst. But I think the more likely thing that will happen is we'll get it under wraps.
Well, we haven't seemingly been able to do that for 4 years. 4 years and two auditors.
Well, I mean, from what I hear about the auditor's position, they're so far behind that I don't even think if you were a good auditor, you'd be able to get it all.
Well, that's
wrapped up
so
in time to before they started calling you a bat out of there.
Well, again, so is that the problem? Whoever Bill Collins puts in there on January 5th, are they going to be the third auditor who goes down in ruin?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say that I think so, but probably only because there's so much stuff that that needs to get done down there that hasn't been or is like genuinely like years behind.
Well, you know what? We're going to break, and we're going to come back and continue to talk about this after the break and hopefully get your opinion. The toll-free line is open this morning, 740-383-9944. And on a more jovial note, Buckeye Guys prediction for the big bowl game tonight, the Cotton Bowl, Missouri 17, OSU 35. And we've got a top 10 list at some point this morning and a whole lot of other stuff. Be right back.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which